Well, the world is dumpster fire, and nothing here makes sense. And you vacillate between crippling fear and constant self-defense. And nothing's right and nothing's good, and you're paralyzed with grief. Don't kill yourself, just have a cup of coffee.
Welcome to Coffee Over Suicide, the dramedy podcast about mental illness and choosing life over death, one cup of coffee at a time. I'm your host, Chris Parker Howard. And today on the show, we have got fellow podcaster, entrepreneur, PhD, and now app developer, Luneed Lewis. And I could not be more excited to share this episode with you because it is one of those densely, tightly packed bundles of information. You're probably honestly going to want a pencil and paper for this one because there's just so much and it happens so quick. You may need to drink a glass of water and take a break. But there is something rather terrific about this episode, and that is we talk in the episode a little bit about her launching a brand new app. I don't know what all goes into that. I just download them on my phone, and there they are. I've never really considered all of the stress and the work that goes into creating something like that. But the premise of what it is she's doing intrigued me. Let me ask you this. How do you spend the first 10 minutes of your day? I know that when I wake up in the morning, on a day when things are at their best, are days when I have at least 10 minutes to myself to enact some intention over my day versus the day enacting its intention over me. Work has to get done. Phone calls got to be made. I got to be sitting at a place at a time. I've got to be doing things that other people are relying on. But what about me? What am I doing to take care of myself? What am I doing to mentally prepare myself for a day that is going to do whatever it's going to do? But aren't you better prepared if you throw some intention at how you want to start your day? That's how you want to live. And doctors and psychologists have found out that what you do in the first 8 to 10 minutes in the morning sets the tone for the rest of your day. That's just a fact. Now, her app is one that is trying to take advantage of that 10 minutes that you've got in the morning. It is called Hit Savers, and this is not a paid advertisement in any way, shape, or form. It's just awesome. It's free to download. You can check it out. Go get it. Hit Savers. It's got a whole bunch of different ways that you can start your day with some inventive intention and just take control of your morning. And that's something I could really use. I have been feeling really sideways lately. I'm having a hard time focusing. I can't seem to get the thoughts out correctly. I'm regularly late to things. I feel a little slower. And I know what this is. It's the depression getting its claws in me. I think the pandemic is kind of doing that to a lot of us out there who are susceptible to depression. It's a weird thing. The chemicals in your body can respond to the environment in such a way that it just says, here, have all of this mind-clouding, body-numbing sadness that is really kind of triggered by something that's rough and made worse by your body not knowing how to regulate itself. It's kind of weird, isn't it? So I don't know. I could use all the help I can get at this point. And so I'm digging into this and I'm loving it so far. I hope that you love it too. And I hope that you love this conversation as I loved this conversation. Now, one last bit of housekeeping. As I have been kind of out of commission with depression, my recording sessions have been all over the place. And so I'm not exactly sure where we're at the moment, because I've had a couple of people ask for the episodes to be pulled or moved, and I don't know what my calendar looks like, so I don't actually know if the episodes are going to be coming on a regular Friday basis. I will do my best. I promise you. I promise you I will do my best. This marks episode number 88, which means we are just 12 away from 100 of these episodes. And that's not counting the specials. The specials don't count. They're special. 12 episodes away from 100. I never imagined I'd get this far with it, and I never could have done it without your support and patience. And I'm asking for just a little bit more as I try to keep this thing going over the finish line each and every week. Because honestly, it's good for me, and I hope it's good for you. Okay, enough of that. Let's get into this jam-packed conversation with Luneed Lewis. We're going. Hi, how are you, Luneed?
I'm well, Chris. How are you?
I am dealing. I know a lot of people are dealing right now, and so it feels a little trite to say that I'm dealing right now, but at the same time, I'm a person who deals with bipolar disorder and clinical depression, and so whether there's a pandemic going on and people staying in lockdown or anything for anyone else, my depression doesn't really care.
Right.
So it's just a different layer. It's not a matter of saying I think that I'm doing worse than anyone else, but just kind of recognizing that it's not necessarily going great at the moment.
Mm-hmm. And it takes a lot of courage to admit that, you know what, I am not 100%. I've been better.
Yeah, it's rough. How have you been lately? What's been, because you, I listen to your podcast, you are a double shot of espresso sunshine and just energy and positivity. How do you maintain that level of positivity, I guess?
Yeah, good thing we're talking with coffee. We're doing coffee over death, right? Good thing if you put up the espresso. Just a shot of what I need. How I have been doing, it's a very good question that you ask, Chris, and I will ask you, just as you candidly express that, you know, you deal with bipolar and depression, and that stuff is real. That issue is real. And for me, in the past week, as I am approaching this, launching my my app, I have undergone some stressors I've never experienced before. I mean, it's so chronic, it's to the point where I don't recognize myself. And that happens. That happens when you're being stretched.
Right? Yeah.
That happens when you're learning and expanding and growing. And so embracing that fact makes it easier to go through it. Actually, or grow through it, as I like to say.
Yeah.
Take me back a little bit further.
Let's explore this a little bit. So, what were you like as a kid? What was your outlook like? What was your upbringing like? Where do you come from?
I come from a third world country. I was born in Haiti, Caribbean island, and he was talking about third world country, didn't have much growing up. But one morning, we were told to get up at 4:30 a.m. and get dressed because we were coming to America, the land of opportunity. And I was, as 10-year-old me, was super excited. And plus, I've never been up so early. And that was a trigger for me because I was like, wow, it is so quiet. The rest of the world is still sleeping. There's no one out here.
Yeah.
It's really nice to see because in Haiti, everybody's in the marketplace. It's constant noise. It's constant. You name it. If you've ever been to a third world country, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
To wake up and it was so quiet and so peaceful and so calm, I was like, oh, there's something to this morning thing. And then not only that, but I was up because there was an opportunity on the other side of this journey. And so waking up early in the morning has been an inspiration for me. But as a child, we didn't have much. Coming to America, my mom had to work two jobs just to make ends meet as a single mom. Went to school, down the street, walked everywhere, didn't have lunch money. So you name it, we were on, school gave us school lunch.
Yeah.
And so that was the growth, the beginning of everything. And then I realized there gotta be more. So I became very driven to want a different lifestyle. Like, I'm in America, the greatest country. How can I make it in America? Because just struggling 9 to 5 for 40 years for the rest of my life doesn't seem to fit my body type.
Yeah.
Because my body type is, as you mentioned earlier, is very optimistic, very positive. And so anything constraining in any way just kills my mojo.
Yeah.
Kills my vibe. So I figured the way out of poverty would be to get educated. So I went on to and tackle school like it was my life mission. And I thought myself I had to speak English. I was reading novels late at night just so I could expedite this growth process. And I went off to high school, college, you name it, all the way to the PhD level. Now, I got here. I'm educated. I have a well-paid job. Why am I not happy? Why is this not the American dream for me? And then it dawned on me, if you're not the successful people, they weren't just making money. They were serving. They were giving back.
Yes.
They had a different lifestyle. They had a different way about them, right? The way they walk and talk. It was a whole different swagger. And I was like, I need to be surrounded by people like that. I need to start learning from people like that. So I found business people around my neighborhood and asked them to mentor me and start picking up on things that they do on a regular basis. And one of the things that came up was how they take care of themselves.
Yeah.
What they had to do to prepare themselves for the businesses that they run. And that's where the idea of Success Leaves Clues came from. Started following these successful entrepreneurs and then realized they had a specific time that did specific things so that their day became a lot more seamless, easier to maneuver. That's so, how it all started.
So where do you get that level of drive from? Because it sounds like your mother was very interested in picking up and moving. But I bet that had to be terrifying at the same time.
Oh, for sure. It was scary. We landed in New York in 1995. It was end of February, going into March. Okay, you're laughing because it was brutal.
Yeah.
Coming from an island where it's 90 degrees and humid and then landing at midnight at JFK where it's chill bone weather. It's like cold. And it was white stuff coming from the sky. Like, what is that? I don't have appropriate attire for this. I have like knee-high dress on with ankle socks. Like, why am I here? This is not cool. Culture shock.
Yeah.
Already a total culture shock. So when we came, my grandfather was waiting for us in the car with like blankets, not even coats, blankets to wrap us in because it was so cold in late February in New York City. That was scary. Learning a new language was scary. And the family that was already here, like just meeting everyone, it was for sure very scary. But I think what really steer my the way I'm driving motivated is that I'm a maximizer by nature, right? I want to have the best experience in everything. I want to never leave anything how I found it. And I've learned that later on in life. But what really took place was at a very young age, like around 11, about 2 years after we got to the state, my mom and dad were never together. And so my mom went to night school and met a guy, and this guy is now her husband. But what conspired for 2 years was that as my mom was out working and still going to night school, she would leave us at home. There's three of us, two girls, one boy. She would leave us at home with this man. And what ended up happening, Chris, is that he went ahead and molested both me and my sister.
Oh, no.
And then I felt out of control. I felt like I had no way to control this, but also I felt like it was also my fault because I couldn't fight back. I couldn't fight back. And I let it happen. So I carried that with me through life. And when I did tell my, it came out in high school because I was so, talking about depression and anxiety and PTSD, that stuff really consumes you. And I carried it through high school and I was very aggressive, although I was smart and learning it. And because I focused so much on school because that's the only thing I could control.
Yeah.
Right. And I started failing my classes. I was angry. I wanted to fight everyone. And I am not a fighter. I am more a lover than a fighter. But I just had so much anger built within me that I didn't know what else to do with it. And so one of my guidance counselors was like, called me aside and says, I think you should go sit with the school psychologist. There was no rebuttal. I didn't argue. I went ahead and sat with the psychologist. And then within the first 20 minutes of sitting down, she asked, what's it like to be in your shoes? I started bawling because no one has asked me that. No one cared to find out what's going on with me because I kind of just isolated myself at this point.
Yeah.
And then I told her what happened to me at a young age. And she, as a mandated reporter, immediately called the police, got my family involved, and it went crazy from there. And my family being so conservative was total shocked because this is family business. It should never be publicized.
Yeah.
And because of that, my family did not take my side. And so that led to abandonment, me feeling alone all over again. And then I succumbed to the decision, I am all I got. So I got to make this or I will not, I will die. And to be frank, Chris, this is what has contributed to who I am today.
Well, there is a lot of change that happened very quickly. I mean, even if you look at it as, you know, coming to America in the middle of the night in the winter as a positive, even if you look at that as a net positive, that is a large change.
Yeah,
and even the idea of being so young and having your safety taken away from you, having your security taken away from you, and being thrown into that level of emotional chaos, it's a lot to process and start to rewire yourself so that you can move forward without letting that trauma keep you closed off to the world, always looking for the next problem. You know what I mean?
I absolutely do. And I got to tell you, it took years to deal with this. I had a hard time loving. I had others. I had a hard time making friends. I was, like I said, I isolated myself. I didn't talk to some family members for years due to it. And so it took a toll on me. Emotionally and physically, because it was hard for me to get into a relationship and stay in a relationship because I didn't know how to love. I didn't experience it. I didn't observe it. So I didn't know how to give it or receive it for that matter.
Yeah.
So it was really tough. And I honestly, I was plagued with all this, riddled with all this emotional, like I call them ants, automated negative thoughts. Like I'm not enough. Nobody's going to love me. I'm, what do you call it? Lost good, damaged good.
Yeah.
And I had all these thoughts running through my mind, and subconsciously they drove my decision. They drove the direction of my life.
Yeah.
And that was the scary part to me. That's when I realized I really need to change something here and started looking more into self-development and personal growth and reading more, Think and Grow Rich, motivations, affirmations, which is all I'm all about now with my best morning routine ever, right? It's like the morning routine, doing these things, these actionable things in the morning routine has given me new life and new hope. I hate to say I've always been like this, Chris. I haven't, as you can tell by my story and my background.
Yeah, it usually is a process. It's kind of amazing the amount of control you discover that you have over your reality by making choices and making decisions, and the amount of satisfaction that you can get simply by having a morning routine. And because it sets your day off with a level of intention.
Right.
And that's very powerful for your mind.
Yeah, that level of intent, you control your agenda. You now control the day instead of it running away with you.
Yes. So how do you take all of this and start moving forward? What was the process of getting out on your own? Like, do you talk to your family at all now?
Yes, absolutely. I am engaged to be married in October.
Congratulations.
Thank you. In a couple of months. So I did learn how to love and receive love. Finally, after years of being single, it's a process. That's a whole podcast of its own.
It is.
I had to learn to forgive my own mother for not believing me when I came out, when I told her about it, and family members for not sticking by my side. I do have my anchor. My grandmother was by my side 100%. My grandmother and my grandfather, who truly raised me, because after I came out at the age of 15, my mother shipped me to my grandparents' house. She couldn't deal. She couldn't deal with me. And so my grandparents raised me. So I had them as my anchor who always believed in me and trusted me. And that really, the one relationship, you just need one, right?
Yeah.
You just need somebody, one person to believe in you. And then you make them proud. And I have to say that has been my anchor. But I had to learn to forgive my mother. That was tough. That took years. I think it happened last year.
It's amazing the impact that our parents can have on us. As far as, I mean, you knew what you went through, and you knew you weren't crazy, and you knew that you weren't wrong for feeling the way you did about all of it. And so it's got to be sort of a tough situation to confront a parent about something like this. That, you know, the strange thing about all of this too is that I've made peace with just about everything that's ever happened to me. Uh-huh. In my own life, and yet I still don't think I've ever had a conversation with my parents about it.
Yeah. It's challenging, as you say.
Yeah. So that's very brave. I mean, you had some pretty tough stuff in you already, apparently.
The desire to live, to have the lifestyle, to live amicably, to live, to be stress-free, to, what's the word? It makes it all worth it once I had the goal in mind.
Yes.
Yeah, it just made it a lot easier because you don't forgive for the other person's sake. You do for you.
Absolutely.
You forgive for yourself so that you can move on, so that you can take the, it's like a bulldozer off your shoulders. So
yeah.
You can put that weight down, set it down, because when you're holding the grudge, it's not hurting them, it's hurting you. The ulcers are growing, the migraines, the constant thoughts are growing, and that's affecting your physical health and your emotional health in a deeper level that you don't want to continue.
Yeah, absolutely.
To go on. It definitely takes courage to have that conversation. But if any, just to bear in mind, you do it for you, not for them. Forgiveness is for you.
Were there ever any conversations about mental health or therapy with your grandparents?
It's taboo. It's taboo in my culture and my religion to have that. And as I told you, it blew up in my face when the psychologist from school reported it, because you don't express that. You don't go outside the house and talk about that stuff. But they don't deal with it in the house either. They like shove it under the rug, you know, shoving dirt under the rug and kind of act like it's not there. It doesn't happen. And people are tripping over that damn rug.
Yeah. Just saying, this is fine. I can live with this.
Yeah, and in the damage. But it goes to show you, Chris, that we're socially constructed. Our environment play a big role in who we become.
Absolutely.
And we have to, that sense of control you talk about, have so much of it that we don't relinquish our power over to our environment or to the people in our lives, because we have to really laser focus, hone in on what our objectives or what our goals are, and actually just if we have to quiet the mind down to do so, get away for a while to do so, then that's okay. I moved 3,000 miles away. I had to do what I had to do.
Yeah, I hear that. You know, the climate's a lot nicer in California.
It is. I'm from the island. It is nice. I like the 70 to 80 degrees year round. I can't deal with anything less than that. Where are you from, Chris?
Well, I'm originally from Michigan, but I'm in California now as well.
Okay, good. Michigan is just like Boston, if not worse.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, you got to get out of there. I mean, luckily I've been able to be fortunate enough to travel a few places in my lifetime, and it's a continuous journey. I think that in order to appreciate all that travel has to offer you, you have to be a person who's willing to look at yourself and the ways that you still have things to learn. Because if you go into any given situation with some level of curiosity, you're bound to learn something from it, and it'll make you a better human being.
Yeah, in a different environment helps, because when you travel, you come back with so much more depth.
Yes.
So much more compassion, you know, because you've explored somewhere different. And it's a very good point that you make. And I agree with you 100%, because it builds compassion. When I travel and I come back, I feel like I know the world a little bit better. There's a big world out there. It's huge.
Yeah, it's so much bigger than the confines of your own head. You got to get out of your own head.
Yeah. And the way to get out of your own head, Chris, is I talk about this with entrepreneurs, is meditation, is spending time with yourself, you know?
Yeah.
If, let's say I wanted to get to know you, right? What would I do? I would spend time with you. I would call you, I'll text you, I'll talk to you, we'll hang out for coffee like we're doing now virtually.
Yeah.
We'd go out for lunch, brunch, whatever it is. I would spend time with you because I want to get to know Chris. I want to know the nuances of Chris. I want to know what ticks Chris off. I want to know when Chris is having a good day to approach, and when he's not, to repel. It's just like, go away. Well, the same thing is the case for getting to know yourself. You got to spend time with yourself. You got to know yourself. You got to practice your meditation, quiet down the mind, close off the social media, the phone, the network, the emails, all of that, and spend some time with yourself. It could be scary at first because, again, we have over 90,000 thoughts and 85% of them are negative.
Yeah.
So it could be a scary place to be, but I urge you, it's just like anything else. You got to practice it, because you imagine living this way for decades and then expecting a miracle after 10 minutes. Of silence, but
yeah, silence is one of those things that it took me quite a while to get comfortable with it, and it wasn't until I started to work on myself in a lot of other areas that I was able to start facing what it was about that silence that was bothering me in the first place, and I realized that's where all of the negativity that I've been ignoring hides.
Live.
Mm-hmm. And it comes to the surface and says, hey, it's quiet. Do you have time to talk about this? No, I don't have time to talk about this. I don't have time to talk about the ways that I'm failing. I don't have time to think about the ways that I'm making mistakes in my life, and I know it. I don't have time to look at my own cowardice or my own shortcomings, my anger. I don't have time to look at those things, and I don't have a desire to look at those things. But guess what? When you don't, it all goes under the rug, and it affects the way you move through the world.
Yes, absolutely. And I didn't think of it that way, but you're right. Maybe people are staying busy because they don't want to face the truth.
It's easier.
They don't want to look in the mirror. It's a lot easier. They don't want to face the mirror, see what's coming at them. But that's the only way we're going to change it is to face it. Well, how do you get rid of a fear? By facing it, right? So that's the only way we're going to tackle it, because what is happening is that it's ingrained now. It's deep into your subconscious mind, right? You think about it. The subconscious mind is the habitual mind. It's the programmed mind that we live in. And we're 95% of the time, we live in that subconscious space. We're operating out of that subconscious space. And if emotions and baggage and all that stuff resides there, guess what? Our decisions, like you said, are being driven by those thoughts, by those habits that are not serving us any longer. And then the other 5% is our creative mind. It's our present mind. It's our be here now mind, right? It's where meditation happens. It's where you are. It's feeling the body, watching your breath go in and out and being present. We only live in that state of mind, the creative state of mind, 5% of the day. That, my friend, is scary, because we are on autopilot 24/7. And that's not a problem until it hinders you from accomplishing your goals. It hinders you from being the better person you can be. It hinders you from transformation, because the brain is designed that way to protect us. Imagine when we were learning to drive a car or learning to walk. Remember stumbling all over the place, but we got up and kept trying. But imagine if every time you got up from a chair, you had to relearn how to walk.
Yes.
Imagine how annoying that would be. So... what the brain has done is it automates that task.
Yes.
So that you don't think about it, so that you can free up your brain space to think about other things, to learn new things, to continue to be curious, to continue to explore your world. But a lot of us don't leave that subconscious mind. We don't get curious. We don't learn. We don't grow. Same thing with driving a vehicle. We, you know, first learned to drive. Both hands were on the steering wheel. We're checking our mirrors. We thought for a long time if we're going to turn left. We put our blinkers on. We look and look left, look right, just to make sure we're driving properly and we're not crashing. But what happens a few months after we get our license? We're driving with one hand, right?
Yeah.
Some of us are putting mascara on. We're drinking water.
Right.
Some people put their foot on the dashboard while they drive these days.
Oh, yeah. But eating breakfast, checking your text messages, fiddling with the radio. Yeah, doing everything but paying attention. Especially if you've got a job that you've been going to for a while, it's easy to get on autopilot on your way to work. How many times have you been in your car and you arrive at your destination without remembering driving there? It happens to everybody at least once.
Oh, my goodness. It happens to me more than once. It happened to me yesterday. I was ashamed to say it, but you're giving me too much credit. It happened to me yesterday. I got in my car to go to one specific pizza place. It's called Blaze Pizza, where they make your own pie.
Yeah.
You can create your own pie. And that's what I wanted. I wanted to treat myself, because the app got approved yesterday. iOS, Apple approved the app. And I was like, I always celebrate with a meal that I enjoy whenever something great happens, and celebrating small wins. And I wanted to celebrate with this pizza. I wanted to make my own pizza. And so I was like, I'm going to drive to this place. It's about 15 minutes away. So I get in my car and I'm driving, and I ended up on the other side of town near a Thai place restaurant. And I was like, you see what I mean?
Yeah.
Autopilot.
Right.
Because I'm so much in my head thinking about the app and all this other stuff, when I'm going to the launching sequence, what it's going to look like. I didn't even know I was driving the wrong way for 20 for 20 daggone minutes.
Yeah.
And then I turned, at the positive person that I am, I turned it around real quick. Not the car. I kept driving. And then I said, you know what? It's good to get lost. I've been so stressed lately. It's good to actually just go off the radar for a little bit.
Well, that's definitely one way to turn it into a positive.
Tell
me about this. When did you start the podcast?
I started the podcast literally a year ago. I kid you not. I published it first week of July in 2019.
Wow. It's because I got to say, it's really fantastic. I'm constantly looking for other areas of inspiration and, you know, just different points of view and different ideas. And some of them work out and some of them don't. That's kind of the beauty of the podcasting medium, is that there's something out there for everybody. And if you're not hearing what you want to hear, go make it yourself.
Yeah.
But that's really interesting. What made you decide that you wanted to start doing this?
I needed a platform to share with the world. I'm a teacher. I was a professor. As you know, I have my PhD, and I was a professor teaching MBA classes for over 5 years. And then I needed a platform to express, because I think I'm very deep. that's me and my self-confidence and my self-value. I had to work on it over the years, y'all. Now I know my worth, and I think I am very deep, and I know I'm very profound, because the way I think, the wisdom, I feel like infinite intelligence just kind of beams knowledge into my head. And so what I needed, my friends got tired of me getting deep. You know, talking about, you know, infinite intelligence and the power, the energy and frequency, and your thoughts become things. You want what you think about. They really was like, enough. We don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And so I was like, you know what? I'm not adding value to nobody's life. And anybody in my life anyway, because I was so sheltered. You know, it's all about just the people that I know. And so I said, you know, I need a platform that I can share this information, because I read a lot. I was reading 50 books a week. Like, I was consuming data like crazy. That's another thing with overcoming your fears and self-development, is consuming stimulating data. I did that. I was reading 50 books a year, out of audio book, you name it. At my 9-to-5 job, I was there for 8 hours. I would have listened to 2 books already.
Yes.
And so that's been a lifesaver for me. And so that's, all that knowledge, I was like, I got so much. And then I ended up writing an ebook. And then I said, well, the ebook will reach some people, so I still needed a different medium. And then I was listening to EO on Fire, Entrepreneurs on Fire, and he talked about a podcast paradise that he has that walks you through the process of how to start a podcast. And with no hesitation, I started it. I have never used the mic. I had nothing. All I knew is I needed a platform, and I trust that God would give me the things to say. And then I, at first it was going to be a business podcast where I talked about the psychology of business, because I have my PhD in organizational psychology. So
yeah.
People in the workplace, that's what it was going to be about. And somehow, probably at 3:30 in the morning, I got an insight from the source, the power, that says, do it about morning routines.
Yeah.
And then I delve into it. And then that's when the idea started coming. Let's talk to Success Leads Clues, right? So let's talk to entrepreneurs about their business. And then let's dial into how they get up, dress up, and show up.
And yeah.
There you have it. There you have it.
Well, I can't thank you enough for taking the time to talk to me today. This has been, I think, probably one of the most just jam-packed conversations that I've had in a long while. I could not agree more with the idea of filling yourself with knowledge and then spreading what you've learned over the world with your own personal flair. That is one of the greatest things you can do with the things that you've learned. And I just want to thank you for taking the time to share that with me.
Chris, it's been my pleasure. We didn't talk about death, though.
Well, that is for another show.
Oh, it's been a great time. Thank you for your time and energy and bringing me on today.
Absolutely. Did I tell you that was amazing, or is that amazing? It's absolutely amazing. And if you want to get some more Luneed in your life, and I know that you do, you can just go to LuneedLewis.com. She's got links to everything. She's got her hands in podcasting and blogging and now app making. And don't forget to go get that app, Hit Savers. You can find it in the app store of your device of choice. And go check it out. Tell me what you thought of it. And that's all I got for this week. If you really want to go get yourself a coffee over suicide mask to protect yourself and others while you're out and about in the world, you can now do that in the Tee Public store, which is always where it's always been, as I will be where I'm always at. Until next week, don't kill yourselves out there.